This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host today. We're just past the bottom of the hour, and our next guest is Juno Police Department Chief Ed Mercer. Chief Mercer, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott.
It's nice to have you here. Calling in from Midtown Lemon Creek, I'm guessing?
Yes, I'm calling in from my office.
Well, maybe we should start there. How have things changed in the time of COVID-19 right there at your physical location at the police department?
Well, that's a good question. Well, we've been, you know, in the last 3 weeks, it seems like a blur as far as having to change different things within the organization and then how we are responding to calls for service out in the public. But just what we're doing internally, obviously we took some pretty extreme precautionary measures and, you know, shut down our front lobby and closed that to public coming and going. We shut down ride-along programs and tours of the building, which, you know, on a weekly basis, we would have several groups coming and going out of the building in that manner, and us giving tours of the building. We've had to, you know, change the way we are responding to certain types of calls for service, you know, and those types of calls where maybe we could do it over the telephone. We're trying to do that to try to limit our interactions with the public and practice social distancing as far as that goes. And, you know, just really trying to continue to show a front out there that, you know, JPD is out in the public and we're out there trying to be a deterrent and also be a presence for the public to know that we're out there if they need us.
Got it. And I was looking at an information release on your Facebook page, and it looks like if somebody does need to come to the station itself, they'll be asked to use the phone outside the lobby and call 586-0600. Is that correct?
That is correct. They could still come to the police department and, you know, use the lobby phone. And also, if you, you know, as far as making appointments to come in and talk to members of the police department, as far as that goes, like if you need to come in and get your vehicle that was impounded, you could set up an appointment time. And if you have stuff you have to pick up from the police department, you can set up appointment time. So we're really trying to limit those type of interactions and also think about their safety and our safety as far as still trying to continue on with day-to-day business that we provide to the community.
Got it. And why don't you take us outside of the station? What's it meant? What kind of changes have your patrol people seen?
Well, if you haven't noticed, I mean, obviously every day is a new day. And when it comes to personal protection equipment, our officers are wearing glasses, they're wearing gloves at all times. They're going to be wearing masks when they're interacting with the public. So you're going to see that more often. I think a couple weeks ago I mentioned that, you know, if we show up to your residence, we may ask you to step outside of your residence so we could talk with you. Or if we're going to a business for a call for service, they may ask the very same thing. But as far as day-to-day operations with, you know, the amount of officers on the street, our community service officers are still out there. You're not seeing any change in that manner as far as seeing them out there doing what they should be doing on a day-to-day basis.
Got it. Another thing I saw on your Facebook page is that falsely claiming you have COVID-19 could get you 5 years in prison. Could you speak to that a little bit? What might be somebody's motivation in asserting that?
Well, unfortunately, right now, with everything going on, and there's a lot of unknowns, correct? And
right.
As far as the testing goes, we have to take every type of incident like that very seriously. And if somebody threatens to harm somebody, especially a police officer or one of the staff, we could charge them with a variety of different types of crimes, one being reckless endangerment would be one that comes to mind, but also terroristic threatening and as far as making that threat and instilling fear into the individuals that you may be saying that you may have COVID-19. We've had already several incidences in our community with our interactions with the public where that has been the case, and we're working pretty close with our prosecutors and working through as far as charging individuals if that's the case. So as far as the the sentencing, if you're convicted on that, I think it varies. Certainly in the court, through the court proceedings, they try to work things through as far as what the end result would that be. But it's pretty serious right now. We're all trying to be protective of each other and making sure that we're not putting anybody in harm's way. And unfortunately, some people do not want to follow that, especially when we have contact with them over maybe on an arrest warrant or having to arrest them on some other type of offense. So this is kind of new to us as well, and we're working through it as far as it goes.
Got it. Are there any other major changes in your day-to-day operations?
Unfortunately, we had to cancel even internal training where we're trying to limit the amount of people in our training room. The police department is our emergency operations center, and although they haven't really had it completely full, but they're using that particular space, and that's the space we use when we train our officers internally. We also had to cancel our civilian academy that I talked about. It was a 8-week academy. I think we were in week 3, and we had to cancel that. So, you know, we're doing all we can, basically, with the information that we're receiving from our state health department through the CDC on taking precautionary measures to mitigate, you know, the spread of the virus. And, you know, my goal is to continue to be able to provide police service out there, the public safety side of it, and we're doing all we can with taking precautionary measures as we move forward.
Got it. You know, I'm thinking about different leaders in the community like yourself. What are you messaging to your colleagues and your coworkers there at the station just about keeping sort of a positive outlook on things?
You know, I think we've been hearing this quite a bit. This can't continue to go on for months, if not years. I think, you know, as human beings, we like the interaction with each other and trying to stay positive and tell them that there will be light at the end of the tunnel. Right, you know, right now it may not necessarily feel that way as we continue to progress on. I mean, we're fortunate in Alaska where, you know, we don't have the state-to-state interactions that they have in the lower 48. So I think in some ways that's helping us as far as moving forward and addressing trying to slow down the spread of the virus from community to community. So, but overall, you know, even though we're focused hard on COVID-19 right now, we do recognize that we have to do our jobs. And sometimes just being able to focus on what your intentions were to do the job to begin with takes your mind off it, and you just keep on plowing forward as far as it goes. But overall, you know, the troops are understanding that and trying to keep a good attitude as they're out there providing the service to the community, whether it be the dispatcher on the phone or a records division interacting with the folks and our officers. We're just trying to be there for our community and show that front.
All right. Thinking about communication with the police department, before maybe a month ago, we spoke about online reporting. Earlier in this show, we talked about the business line, 586-0600. Can you speak a little bit more about communication with the department at this time, the best way to do it?
Well, I'm glad you brought up online reporting. And interesting enough, even before this all kind of took off with COVID-19, we ramped up and added more offenses in which somebody could report a crime in our community on online reporting. So we're strongly encouraging people to do it that way. We'll still follow through. It might be a telephonic contact with our civilian investigator to follow up on your complaint. But as far as, you know, reporting emergencies or urgent type of situations, still call, you know, you call a 500-0600 or 586-0600 or, you know, 911. We want to keep those lines open and still continue on as a way to communicate with the police department when you need us.
Can you remind us of an example that would qualify for online reporting?
Well, if you say your car had been rifled in the middle of the night and you may not have any more information other than you woke up, went out to your car, and you learned that your car was rifled through, and maybe some items were stolen out of it. That is one example. You could report it online, and I think the benefit, what I've said in the past, was you could inventory everything that has been stolen and maybe give a little bit more description on the items that was stolen from your vehicle that we enter into our system, and if we come across it out in the field with somebody on a traffic stop, or if they're in possession of it, maybe we could link it together and you know, close that particular case, which I could tell you we have come across, especially burglaries and thefts, where we come across property and we're able to identify that it belongs to somebody else. So that would be a good example. Also, just reporting basic theft type incidents also, even though maybe the rifling of the car is one thing. But, you know, that is usually a good example of how somebody can use online reporting to report crimes. And nothing's stopping them. I mean, they go on there, and there's a list of crimes that are accepted on online reporting. If they feel it may be a little bit more useful to go online and report it in that fashion, we'll still follow up with you. But I wouldn't suggest that if there was some sort of urgency. If you have somebody, you come home and you catch somebody running out the back door, call the police, and we'll show up and do what we can to try to locate that individual and then process the scene at your house if it's a burglary.
And remind us the website to go to for online reporting?
JuvenilePolice.com.
All right. This is a really stressful time for a lot of people, especially care providers, and I'm thinking about law enforcement. Do you have any message maybe for our listeners if they are going to come in contact with a police officer, just sort of safe communication techniques or things they can do to put the situation at ease maybe?
I think, you know, just follow that social distancing and understand that as far as it goes. Our officers are going to be very particular. As police officers, usually we're really we pay attention to how close people stand to us anyways, but with social distancing, as far as keeping a distance and understanding it, we're really trying to protect each other during that contact. And also, you know, I think just be a good neighbor and help each other out as we go through this. You know, there's many people in this community who may not have family support or support, and look out for each other as far as that goes. And that's one thing we're trying to do when we're out there. When we get that call for service, trying to be compassionate and understanding this is a very stressful time for a lot of people. And we want to put that face of calmness in front of them and saying, hey, look, we could still deal with this. We could work through it and be supportive of each other.
All right, Chief Ed Mercer of the Juneau Police Department, we really appreciate your time today. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, just like I said, we appreciate all the community support. I think, you know, right now we're in some trying times, and we'll be resilient, and we'll overcome this. It just might not be at the pace that we want, and as long as, you know, the whole community is following the mandates that have been applied either through the city government or through the state government as far as it goes, if they remain compliant, I think in the long run we'll be better off. So just appreciate the support of each other out there and supporting the police department of us trying to continue with our effort to provide public safety in our community.
All right, sir. Thank you for your time. And as a reminder, the business line is 586-0600. And as usual, for an emergency, call 911. Thank
Absolutely.
You for being on the show, sir.
Yeah, thank you. You stay safe.
You too.
All right.
Young teacher, the subject of school.